You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Hey, hey, here we are, episode number 67 of the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. This is Scott McKay coming at you from sunny San Antonio, Texas, in the heartland of the US of A. With me today, I've got a guy who comes from the left coast, and his name is Trip from Trip Advice. Trip, man, what's up?
Hey, man, how you doing? Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Groovy, glad you're here. I think we're going to have a good show today because we're going to talk about something that's, you know, and this is something I say all the time, Trip, but we're still coming up with really fresh topics. And this one is a huge one. This is second dates. I'm not sure I've ever heard anybody give this whole topic of second dates justice, right?
I really have never heard people talk about it because everyone's just trying to nail down the first date. And they think that they have it like golden once they get the first date, but they don't. There's a lot more work to do. And hopefully we can get into that today.
Right. Just like every book for men about how to succeed with women better be a pickup book because that's all that matters. I mean, guys are like, how do I meet women? How do I meet women? Because they're not meeting any women. So it's the first step and that's the only step they care about. But after they meet women, then it's like, okay, now what? How do I get her number? How do I get her on the first date? Then if you get her on the first date, how do I make sure this first date goes well? How do I kiss her? How do I get her on the second date? How do I talk to her on the phone? How do I have sex with her? It's always, what do I do next? Well, we're going to indulge that today. We're going to talk about what you do next after the first date. And to kick off this discussion, we have this great voicemail, really good question from Josh in Philadelphia. Let's roll with that.
Hi, my name is Josh. I had a question about second dates. My first date with a woman was a happy hour that turned into dinner. The bill was about $40 or so, and I paid. She didn't offer to pay or really say thank you, but I invited, so I paid anyway. I was on the fence about her as we parted ways, but she indicated that she wanted to see me again. So I texted her later and said, let's see if you can top our first date. I told her to plan it and text me the info. She invited me to brunch a few days later. She showed up late, and then when the bill came, it sat for several minutes. I was expecting her to pay, but she didn't lift a finger. So I paid. I got no response from her, no thank you from her. We walked out, I gave her a hug, and then I never saw or heard from her again. Should the woman pay for the second date if the guy pays for the first date? Did I get taken advantage of here, or was I simply lacking leadership? Thanks a lot.
Well, alrighty then. We have a lot going on in that particular voicemail, don't we, Trip?
Yes, that's it's a little bit loaded, but I think we can dissect some things. I think I have a few ideas of what's going on here.
Yeah, well, go ahead and take the lead, man. What's the first thing that popped into your mind when you heard what Josh had to say?
Okay, I mean, so first thing is this. I noticed a lot that he was really focused on the money aspect, right, about whether to pay, whether not to pay. And I want to go into that as well. And then the second thing that I really noticed was the fact that he said to the girl that she should try to plan, you know, and top that first date, which I don't like. Okay, I don't like that one bit. That does take away from this leadership aspect, right? I'm under the belief, and I think this is one of the best ways to do it, and it's a very easy little rule that I like to follow, is that on the first three dates, unless she interferes, okay, so unless she comes in and interferes and says, let me plan, blah, 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 let me pay, blah, 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 but for the first three dates, just pay for whatever it is and plan all first three dates. Okay, with that, I have seen my students, myself included, see a lot of success. And the big reason behind that is because you're showing a lot of very masculine qualities, right? By planning, by taking the lead, by taking control, which is what a woman is attracted to. And then just sucking it up and saying, you know what? I'm going to pay for these first two, three. I probably wouldn't go past four, but, you know, first three dates. Now, here's the test right here. If she comes in and tries to pay for the second or for the third date that you guys are on, you got yourself a good girl, okay? Something's really good there. If she doesn't look at the bill, if she doesn't try to even do this little thing where she, like, you know, puts her hand on the bill or tries to see it, and she doesn't do that, again, you know, this is a little bit of a problem here. And this is a girl who, I don't know if she's using you or what it is, but, you know, she's not really paying back the favor there. So for this guy specifically, I really think that this girl is not interested. And again, it's hard to say, you know, I used to have a podcast where I get questions like these and you don't know all the details, right? So he could have done many things wrong. But I'll tell you the quick little short list of what those things could have been. Either one, he didn't show the leadership, like we said. It's possible that he just wasn't really interesting. He wasn't very fun on that second date. Or maybe he was kind of sort of fun on the first date and she said, okay, let me give him a chance. And the second date, it just didn't come up to her standards, right? So that's the main things. And then the fact that, you know, she didn't want to pay for it and that he never heard from her again, well, obviously, you know, he didn't create an experience on these dates that you need to be creating to get a girl to want to see you again. So that's my initial thoughts on it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you might just be my brother from another mother, because I really couldn't have said it any better than you just did. I think you hit just about all the salient points. All I would add to that is when you're talking about being fun on a date, you're talking about the quintessential essence of whether you're going to succeed or fail with that woman. Bringing out the fun, bringing out the playful with a woman eases her sense of tension, you know, the bad kind of tension, like, you know, is this going well? I'm nervous. I'm anxious. Women will follow your lead. You just talked about how women are turned on by a man who leads. They also follow that lead. I don't care how powerful she is. I don't care how alpha a chick she is. She wants you to lead. And we say that on this show all the time. So basically, dude, you have this woman in front of you. The first date went well. I guess you were fun. You must have put her at ease. Then you told her to plan the second date and take the lead. It's like you're relinquishing the very thing that's making you attractive willingly. You're just handing it over on a silver platter. So she went, okay, I'm going to go ahead and suggest we go to brunch. And you're like, okay, cool, let's go to brunch. Now, all of a sudden, she is the one doing the invitation. But is she really? Because you sort of suggested that she do it. So it's kind of tricky at that point, and it's still your leadership. But like you said, whoever invites should pay. So what you were essentially inviting her to do was pay for the second date if she wanted one. But she didn't, because she's still expecting the guy to pay. After all, you invited her to invite, and that's where it got really freaky and weird. Josh, Tripp just told you how you can alleviate this in the future and did it very clearly. Take the lead for those first few dates. Assume you're going to pay. And here's a great idea. Make sure the dates aren't really expensive for those first few dates. Then you're not out all that cash for something that didn't really work ultimately. Women, if they're good women, and what Tripp just said about being a good woman, I think absolutely applies. There's no sense in reiterating it. If she's a good woman, she's not trying to see how much money she can bilk you out of for taking her out for steak and lobster and Morton's and stuff like that on the first couple dates. Walk in the park. Go do something that doesn't cost any money. Go to a festival if it's the summertime or if you live in a place where there's a warm climate. I know you live in Philadelphia. I mean, you can go wander around on South Street even when it's cold outside and not have to spend a whole lot of money. I mean, you might want to get a coffee or whatever. You don't have to go out for these $40 dates, these $60 dates. I don't know how much brunch costs for the both of you, unless you're going to some kind of champagne and strawberries thing where they're doing like Eggs Benedict and crap like that. I don't know how that could have possibly been more than $10 a person. But if you're not wanting to pay for that either, then maybe she has a point. See, you asked her to invite you to something. You didn't invite her to something. So you're thinking, okay, the brunch thing was her idea. So she goes to brunch with you. But it's still your date. You're still the guy. You still were in charge of this whole plan. You just told her to plan it. So inexpensive dates, you be the man who's in control. And then if you want to call it such, the quote unquote price for being in control is you're going to have to whip out your wallet. That's all there is to it. After the third date, you know, maybe you can invite her over and cook together. Maybe you can go to her place again. I agree that a good girl will eventually want to give back to you. What a really good girl might do, to give some kind of an example to this, to kind of flesh this out for you, would be, hey, look, you know, you've been so sweet. You've taken me on a couple dates here. I want to take you to my favorite Thai restaurant for lunch tomorrow afternoon. What do you think? It's my treat, she'll say. Then you let her pay for the lunch. You can reach for your wallet if you want, but see, she's going to want to pay because it's her suggestion. She's the queen of that plan. You see what I mean? That's why that works. But I think that was an excellent question, and you got some real good advice from Tripp there, Josh, and I think you should run with it. Be a leader. Be a guy who is in charge of those first few dates, knowing you're going to have to pay. But being in charge also means you don't have to plan really expensive stuff. You hold all those cards. One final word about being fun. If she's a woman and you're a man and you have the sexual polarity working, male, female, all you need in order to make that woman want to hang out with you is for her to check the box, it's enjoyable for me to be with him. Do I enjoy this experience of hanging out with this guy, or can I not get out of there soon enough? So if you're making things fun for a female human being, you're going to also bring out her feminine nature. She's going to feel more like a woman because you're bringing out the fun. If you've ever seen a bunch of women having a girls' night out at a bar and they're laughing their asses off together, it's not because one of them's a comedian. It's because they're having fun. And when women have fun, then they laugh and enjoy themselves, which kind of a little tangent there. If you're concerning yourself about how to make women laugh, because you've heard Marilyn Monroe say, if you can make a woman laugh, you can make her do anything. Here's a hint. You don't have to be a comedian. You just have to help her have fun. Then she'll laugh. So there's a little bit extra for you. Josh, that was an excellent voicemail, and in honor of that, my man Tripp's got something seriously cool for you, and this is a bonanza. This is really an excellent program. It's called How to Attract Your Perfect 10. Tripp, what's in that program?
So this is basically a full breakdown, and this is going to help Josh a lot too. It's a full breakdown going from the beginning of when you first meet a girl, and this is not just meeting girls at bars. This is literally anywhere. I don't care where you meet her. It's going to teach you how to meet the girl and then get her attracted to you and all the way up to getting her on a third date. So I take you through the whole process and break it down with about 11 modules showing you every step of the way, what to say to her, how to attract her, how to turn her on, and all doing it while being very authentic. So I'm not, you know, teaching you how to be this mold that I've created. It's more teaching you really cool kind of tricks that you could use that bring out your best self that will attract the girls that you want. And I teach you how to do that in this program. And like I said, it's going to help out you, Josh, a lot, because at the end of the program, when you go towards the end, and I highly suggest you don't just skip there, try to do it from the beginning. But once you get to the end of the program, it's going to teach you a really cool formula I have for the types of first dates to go on, the types of second dates to go on, and the types of third dates to go on, and then how to get her on all of those different types of dates. So it just breaks down the whole process for you. So good luck with that.
And ergo, that makes you, Tripp, the perfect guy to talk about second dates with on this show.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, right on. Josh, that's really a cool program for you to get, and very generous of Tripp to hand it over. Guys, if you want to learn more about Tripp and that program, I've set up a special URL, as I always do, which is www.thechickwhisperer.com/Tripp, T-R-I-P-P, two P's and Tripp, www.thechickwhisperer.com/Tripp. And guys, we need your voicemails. We need good voicemails. We need voicemails that are original topics, like don't ask me how to get out of the friend zone for the 50th time. Stuff like that. Definitely ask us something that has a little bit of uniqueness to it, just like Josh just mentioned, but yet is going to be relatable for all the guys who are listening. So you don't want to be esoteric or anything, but you want to give enough detail to your call that it makes the call interesting relative to other things we've talked about on the show. Sounds kind of complicated. Really not. It's easy to do. Chances are if you've got an issue that's bugging you, other guys will be able to relate to it. Just make sure of that before you call. The number is area code 210-362-4400. Once again, that's 210-362-4400. Nobody's going to answer the call. You don't have to worry about that. You can call anytime, day or night, from anywhere in the world. Leave your voicemail. Definitely tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and give us your email address at the end and spell out that email address so we can rush your prize to you like we're going to rush Tripp's How to Attract Your Perfect 10 to Josh in Philadelphia. So thanks a million in advance for that, guys. And thanks to Josh for that great voicemail. Now, Tripp, we're already off and running on this idea of second dates. We saw how Josh in Philadelphia had a little bit of an issue thinking, okay, well, I don't know this woman that well. We need to have a second date. The second date needs to go well, but who's going to pay? And then it got kind of awkward there. And next thing you know, they give each other a hug and they don't see each other again. Obviously, we want second dates to turn out a little bit better for the guys in the audience. And I know you have a little bit of a plan that you want to share with us on how to go from first date to second date to third date. I think that's a great place to start. So go for it.
Cool. Sounds good. Yeah. So I have a little bit of a formula here. It's something that you can generally follow. And it should be easy enough because, like I said earlier, you should be the one planning it and taking control of the date. So the best thing to do is for a first date, I think Josh said he went to a happy hour. Was that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so a happy hour, I like that. That's not a bad idea, right? Happy hour, I like to say just maybe getting a drink, okay? So, and also, by the way, first date, always nighttime, okay? If you can help it. I know sometimes there might be a place or an event or something that's going on during the day that's just the perfect time to invite that girl you just met. But otherwise, you want to do some sort of nighttime, like a drink and no dinner, by the way, okay? So no dinner, and I'll get to that in a second. Yeah, happy hour is cool, or some sort of activity, okay? An activity can be, again, this is for, you know, if it's going to be a little warmer outside, but if you can find somewhere cool to kind of walk around and see things so you guys can comment on what you're looking at, maybe it's some sort of event that's going on, anything that's going to be good for you two to kind of talk about, right? Like to be able to bring up and talk about the things around you instead of sitting across from each other on this, you know, very obvious first date dinner sort of thing that most people do. And the reason why this works so well on doing some sort of kind of activity, again, that can be like bowling, it can be going to an arcade, it doesn't matter, but you're going to throw her off in a good way. She's going to think that you guys are going to be going on a date, a dinner date that most people think, but when she does this different thing, she's going to be like, oh, wow, this is different. And that's going to make you stand out. Okay, so that's how you should structure a first date, one of those events, either a drink or an activity. And then the second date, that's where I want guys to do the traditional dinner date, okay? Because she's going to be expecting it. She's going to be wanting it sometime because it is really a good time to connect with someone eating dinner and sitting across from each other and having that good moment. And that's the time you're going to do it on that second date. You don't have to spend $200, even $100, but I wouldn't go to like Chili's, you know what I mean, if you can help it. Like go somewhere that's going to be somewhere in between. You know, maybe it's like a nice local restaurant that you know of where you guys can sit down, get served, and have a nice conversation.
Man, you're tough. Usually I hear, don't take her to McDonald's. Don't take her to In-N-Out Burger. Man, you're upgrading the don't take her on a date list to include more quote unquote upscale places like Chili's. And, you know, you're basically knocking every poor college student out of the conversation, man.
Yeah.
You're crushing us.
I got to be hard on you guys. You know what I mean? I mean, but, you know, I know Chili's is like super upscale and you guys get served. And, you know, they got that special, you know, appetizer meal dessert kind of thing going. But
yeah,
but come on, time to step it up.
I think I'd probably cut it off at Panera Bread. Something better than Panera Bread. You know, if you live in a place where there's only national chain restaurants, you know, you got to do the best with what you got. Some places have the bar set lower by virtue of geography than other places, you know, and having traveled all over the United States in an RV, I know that. But yeah, at least pick a place that isn't a national chain if you can help it. You should have a few restaurants in mind wherever you live, guys, that are good and won't break the bank. So that's one thing. I want to jump in a little bit on first dates before we dig into the second dates. First of all, I'm assuming, Tripp, that you've actually met this woman before if you're talking about a full-on first date at night, not an online date thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Because if you've never met her before, take her out to coffee and see if this is even going to work. I mean, low, low budget with a time limit. Like, I have lunch hour here. We're going to meet and see if we like each other. Then the beauty of that is your first date is really kind of your second date because it worked well. That's something we can talk about. I loved your idea of not going to dinner on the first date and making it interactive. Guys, taking her to a movie on the first, second, or third date is basically the kiss of death. The whole point of that first date is to see if you get along. How do you even know if you're sitting in the dark together? Right? So Another thing you said was take her out to dinner on the second date. And you nailed the reason why you want to do that. It's the same reason why if you're in sales and you're trying to close a deal with a major customer, you know, like a business to business kind of deal, what do you do? What do you do with that customer? You take them out to dinner and shell out the money, because there's something about breaking bread with someone that builds rapport. Sharing a meal equals trust. It equals we like each other. We are close to each other. So you're actually building intimacy with that dinner. So I love the fact that you're actually telling guys it's a good idea to take women to dinner, even if you don't spend a whole lot of money, because of what it does psychologically. I think a lot of guys, especially in the pickup community, are like, ah, you know, traditional dates, skip them. You don't want to do this. You just want to pull her into the bathroom stall and bang her. Well, you know, sometimes you do want to build a relationship with a woman. There's a woman who you value and respect above and beyond sex. I would say it always should be that case, but I know that I'm a dissenting viewpoint in the minds of some. What you're doing in that woman's mind when you take her out to dinner is you're causing her to think more highly of you and start thinking, hey, you know, where is this going to go? This really feels like an official date. Maybe this guy likes me. Maybe he could be boyfriend material in the future. So you kind of have to be careful with that. But anyway, go on with second dates. There's more to tell.
Well, also, Scott, I want to piggyback off of that real quick and just tell the guys that the dinner date, why it's good, again, on a second date or a third date or something like that, anything but the first date, but why it's good in general is because it sets the mood, it sets the context for romance, right? So we all know that it's a romantic date, right? And a woman sees that. So she's going to have that nice little giddy feeling inside of her when she's like, oh, I'm being taken out on this proper date. Now, I know a lot of guys are just like, well, why don't I just do that in the first date? And again, you just want to make sure that you're coming off different, giving her that exciting feeling. And then she gets excited to finally go on that romantic dinner date with you.
Well, you know what? You just triggered something in my mind that's really important. The first date should be all about relaxing, putting her at ease. A lot of times guys are really wadded up in their own mind, like we've talked about on this show. And they're thinking, oh God, don't mess up, don't mess up, don't mess up. And meanwhile, the woman is feeling that tension and gets tense herself. If you can think outside of your own mind, get outside of your own head, as we say around here, what you're doing is you're helping that woman feel at ease so she has fun and she likes you. It's all about putting her at ease and seeing if the two of you get along, you see. So to put yourself under that pressure on that first date, to do all of that as you're having dinner and trying to have good table manners and so forth, it's kind of going to be a mood killer, because all you're doing is increasing that pressure to look good and to have this go well when it should be a lot more relaxed on that first date. But see, once you get to that second date, there's an assumption there that the first date went well, I would hope. You did mention something in answering Josh's voicemail that I think bears underscoring. Sometimes women will give a guy a second chance, even if the first date didn't go well. You have to be cognizant of that possibility. But assuming you thought the first date went well and she was laughing and giddy and carrying on and she was telling you how much fun she was having and you tried to take her home at 11 o'clock and she didn't want to go home yet, you know, assuming you got these signals that she really was having fun instead of she was kind of meh about it. Well, once you get on the second date, you don't have that pressure to cause each other to like each other anymore. That isn't on the table anymore. You've gotten that out of the way. You can take a deep breath and go, all right, let's go on a proper date, just like you're saying. So I love that idea of dinner on a second date. If you really hit it off and you know how to cook for a woman, and by the way, guys, I have a book on that called Cook for Your Date. Look it up on my site. Then it is a bonanza to get her to come over your place and cook for her, because then you're hosting her. Then you're the one producing the dinner and it makes it an even bigger rapport builder. And of course, what happens after dinner, sky's the limit. But I love the idea. Continue.
Scott, I mean, you said earlier, brother from a different mother. Absolutely true, because I was going to say the third date is pretty much exactly that. The third date, you should be aiming to get her back to your place. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you another cool trick in a second here too, if you want to go back to her place. But when you cook for her and you bring her back to your place, I mean, the sparks fly and she should be comfortable enough at that point. If you did it right, she should be totally comfortable enough with you and like you enough to feel like, oh, okay, no problem. Yeah, I'll go back to his place. And like, it's not going to be a question for her. And I say that because I know a lot of guys might be thinking like, whoa, third date, you know, your place, like, isn't that too soon? Or that seems kind of scary. Trust me, it's not. If she's saying yes to a third date, she'll be more than excited. And a lot of girls do have what's called the third date rule, where they're going to wait 3 dates to have sex with a guy. So, I mean, you could get lucky on that third date being back at your place.
Well, what you're doing is you're inviting her into your reality. And if she likes you and she's interested in you, she wants to go see what your life is like. She wants to see what your world is like.
Yes.
Your world being defined as how you live, what your lifestyle is like, what you're into, looking at the art on your walls, assuming you have art on the walls, looking at the books on your shelf, looking what's in your refrigerator. You know, yes, she's going to go into your bathroom and look in the medicine cabinet. If you're like most single guys, it's going to be empty, but you know, you get the drift. And she wants to see if your toilets are clean. She wants to see if you're a slob. She doesn't expect you to be Felix Unger, but you know, she wants to see what you're like. She's curious. She wants to know. And so you invite her back to your house. And the implication there is that if she's going to your house and she's willing to be alone with you in the place where you live, then she's going to be at least open to the idea that something frisky is going to happen. I remember one time I had a woman come over my house, just like you're talking about, probably the third date. We were comfortable with each other. Next thing you know, after dinner, I'm rubbing her back. Then the clothes come off and she's got Fredericks of Hollywood stuff on. I mean, she's got like this amazing hot lingerie.
She was ready.
Red.
She was ready.
Yeah, that isn't what she wears every single moment of her life. It's like the equivalent of a guy like us wearing clean boxers in case there's an emergency, you know. Yeah. In case of emergency, she's got the Fredericks of Hollywood gear on. And I remember this was relatively early in my journey to getting really good with women. And I was thinking to myself, hey, you know, she knew this was going to happen. But then again, what do women do? What are they like? They like to play innocent. This is why seduction works so well with women. This is why seduction is such an important skill, and not the sleazy kind, not the pickup artist kind, but making it your idea to kind of want her to get horny and want her to feel a little sexy. Okay. She wants it to be your fault that something frisky happened, and she wants to be able to blame it on her lack of willpower or, you know, you just started kissing me and I couldn't help myself. She doesn't want to come out and let you know blatantly that, hey, you know, I was really hoping that after dinner we would get naked and tear each other up, even though she probably did, because that's just how women are. They're protective of their reputation. They don't want to look like a slut. They want to seem like a nice girl who you seduced. And make no mistake, though, guys, if she's coming over your house alone and you live alone, and the two of you are there at night with no one to be your chaperone, she's at least open to the idea something's going to happen here. Now, for you guys with roommates, it gets a little hairier. And we've had a few questions about that in the past, too. That's something you're going to have to work out with your roommates. But I love everything you're saying, and I am absolutely in total agreement with it. Go ahead.
Cool. So another thing I want to add on to this is, and this is a little bit of a gamble, and I think a lot of girls would actually tell you this is a bad idea, okay? But
I'm all the more intrigued.
I bet you are. I bet you are. So, and I've done this before, by the way, and it worked. Okay. But basically what you do is for the third date, you know, give her a call or maybe text her or whatever, and let her know that you're going to come to her place and pick her up and you guys are going to go somewhere crazy. Okay. So you're going to intrigue her with something like that. If you don't want to say that, it doesn't matter. Just make sure the point is you tell her that you're going to come over to her place and pick her up for this next date. Okay. What you're going to want to do is you get a bag of groceries with stuff that you can cook. Make sure that you, whatever it is, you can cook it well. I guess, Scott, you said you got an amazing ebook or something like that on how to do that. So get that, read that, learn how to cook something amazing. Get the ingredients, bring it over to her place. You're basically going to surprise her by bringing over food to her place and then cooking it for her there. But you're not going to do it in this way where you're like this, you know, kind of slave coming over and cooking her a meal. You want to get her involved in it. You take the lead, but have her help you, have her chop the onions, you know, have her crack the eggs, whatever you guys are making, and have her be your little assistant. And you do a little thing at her place, and it's just totally romantic. She's going to love it. Now, the reason why I said earlier is why some girls might say this is a bad idea, because I could imagine girls being like, no, don't stop over. You know, they don't want you to stop over at their place because they might not have cleaned up. Maybe their makeup is everywhere. Maybe it's a mess. And here's the deal. Do it anyway. And if the girl's so intensely shaken up by like, no, don't come in here. Like, I didn't clean up. Don't argue with her. Just say, okay, you know what? That's fine. Let's just take it to my place. And then you move it back to your place. You don't want to push her too far. But when I did it, it worked out great. She was so excited. You know, her place, I mean, girls are generally pretty clean. You know, I'd be more shooken up if a girl came over to my place randomly and wanted to do it at my place, because I'd be like, oh crap, like a boxers are everywhere and whatever. But try it out. It's a really good, unique thing. And I guarantee you, the best about this is kind of what I was explaining earlier, is that this is going to make you super unique. I can guarantee you, no guy has ever done that for a girl before. Maybe if they've been in a relationship, maybe. But definitely not on like a second, third, fourth date, like in that arena. So try that out, because it works like a gem and you can't fail.
As you were talking, you mentioned how a lot of women would tell you this is a bad idea. I think you just hit a major tenet of why it's a bad idea to ask women in your social circle for dating advice. Because unless they're attracted to you, their bar for a bad idea is going to be set a lot lower. When a woman's horny for you, stuff that a normal, rational thinking woman who is like your sister or your mother would think, oh my gosh, that's never going to work. That's going to be a disaster. If she's hot for you, she's going to be like, woohoo, let's go for it. You know, so you have to kind of filter advice you get from women through the whole idea that they're not going to ever suggest something that would involve putting their own image in your eyes at risk. Does that make sense? In other words, like, I'm going to go mountain biking, and this is a real example from the stories of a guy I was coaching, by the way. I'm going to go out mountain biking with this woman all day long. We're going to get all sweaty right around the mountains. Then we're going to come back to my house and cook dinner together. But in order to do that, we're going to have to clean up. So my plan is we're going to get naked and take a shower together. If you ask your sister this, or a coworker who happens to be female and married, she's going to go, oh my gosh, don't do that. She's never going to go for that. That would be a bad idea. That's way too pushy. No woman's ever going to get naked with you. But of course, if she's hot for you and she's looking for an excuse to get naked with you, it's perfect. I mean, it'll be easy. But see, if you ask any woman who's got a platonic relationship with you and she has no vested interest in showing you her sexual side, she's going to give you the most ultra conservative dating advice ever. So that's something that just came to mind when you were talking about that.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Of course, I can see someone reacting to that story, you know, in a rational environment, say, no, like, that's how sleazy, that's not going to work, da 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 da. But again, when you're caught up in that emotional whirlwind and whatever you guys talked about, she's becoming more attracted to you, and then you're back at your place or her place and it just happens, then it just happens. And you can't,
right?
And I don't blame them. You know, you can't understand that emotional sensation you're getting when you're just talking to your brother or friend over the phone and hearing that for the first time. So
guys, something I want to throw in here that may be the takeaway from this entire podcast. Remember this always. Women love when your first sexual experience with them seems like it happened by accident. This wasn't supposed to happen. Things just got a little bit out of hand. And wow, next thing you know, I was doing something I didn't really think I would ever do. Women love that. They love that idea of putting on that impression that they're this nice girl, that they're not going to do anything sexual, and that you should keep your hands off. And the next thing you know, you start kissing them on the neck and they start losing control. And they say to you things like, oh, I never do anything like this. You have such an effect over me, which might be true, by the way, but it might not be. It might just be a line. It's going to be one or the other, right?
Exactly.
And then the next thing you know, something really naughty is happening and she's talking dirty to you and you're ripping her clothes off and you can't believe what a horny little chick this was underneath that Miss Nice Girl exterior. Women love that kind of accidental first sex experience. That said, you want to make sure you're prepared for it either way. Just like the woman made sure to wear the super hot lingerie just in case, you need to make sure you wrap that rascal and have all that stuff just in case too. It's never an accident is all I'm trying to say. She just wants it to seem that way.
Exactly. And that's what turns them on the most.
Oh, it's hot. It's hot for us too.
Right.
I love it too.
And it just happens. Why do you think like every porno you watch, it's always like some random occurrence of like the delivery man and the nurse, and it just happened, right? It all turns us on.
Right. I walked in on my sister's best friend masturbating and wow. Who knew?
Who knew that my sister's best friend would masturbate in my own house? That's kind of weird.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, my wife and I, you know, we have accidental sexual experiences even now, and we've been married for 8 years.
That's how it goes.
It's great.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. It makes it more exciting.
So let's focus on this second date. guys come to me and they say things like, yeah, well, okay, I know she likes me, or I'm not sure she likes me, but you would think so because she's going on the second date. Maybe that's a good thing to sort out right here on this podcast is, how can you tell whether she's giving you a second chance because the first date was at best marginal, or whether she's really into you and you can just take a breath of relief and relax? How can you tell? What are the signs?
Well, I think, yeah, absolutely 100%. If she's on the second date, she's somewhat interested. Okay. So
agreed.
Even to a very minimal level, because if a girl doesn't have an interest in a guy, it doesn't matter how desperate she is, if she thinks the guy is creepy or boring or stupid or whatever it is, she's not going to waste her time, okay? Especially if you're going after a very quality girl who probably has other guys going after her. She won't waste her time. So, yes.
That's a huge point, by the way.
Yeah, huge right there, that she'll make the time if she likes you to a certain degree.
The less popular she is, the fewer dating opportunities she has. Now, that can be not necessarily because she's low quality or because she's ugly or anything like that. Some women are just really busy, or they're rather shy, or they don't have a whole lot of social outlet. But the fewer dating opportunities she has, the more likely she's going to give a guy she's not so interested in a second chance. Women who are top rung, high echelon, in demand by all kinds of guys have a very low margin for error in terms of screwing up the first date.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Go ahead.
Now, if you're on the second date with her and you want to find out, okay, so is she here because she's interested, or is she here because, well, she's trying to give me a second chance? Very simple. A few things to look out for. How engaged is she? That's going to be probably the biggest one. Is she engaged in the date, right? So how do you tell if she's engaged? Is she asking you questions? Are the questions more personal? Is she laughing? Is she smiling, right? These like simple things you got to look out for. If she's not doing any of these, just on, again, on a minimal level here, then you can probably gauge that she's not interested. Is she giving you eye contact? Is she moving closer to you? Is she making any gestures in terms of wanting to hang out a little bit longer on the second date? So whatever it is you guys decided to do, you know, maybe it was that dinner date that I was talking about. Did she say something like, oh, like, let's go walk around a little bit. Let's go check this out. That's happened to me many times with the girls who I knew were interested. They would try to extend the second date. They'd want to maybe even go back to their place. They've invited me over, whatever it is. If that's happening, you're doing things right. It sounds to me like the call before with Josh, I can guarantee you that girl was probably giving all the negative signs on that brunch date. Probably not having a good time at all because, well, they never saw each other again. But those are some of the things you want to look out for.
Yeah. One thing you mentioned there was if she invites you over to her place, anytime a woman makes a suggestion, let's go somewhere where we're alone, you're doing very well.
Very well.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I think you pretty much covered that. On the second date, I think a lot of times guys are thinking, well, if the kiss didn't happen on the first date because of some supernatural, wonderful chemistry and the stars aligned and it was just perfect, I think a lot of times guys are thinking, well, I better make the kiss happen on the second date or else. I think guys have this dichotomy in their mind. There's sort of a tension, sort of a tug of war between, look, I don't want to come on too strong and try to kiss her and get the cheek, you know, the cheek capitalized. But then again, we also hear a lot of warnings from guys like me, and I'm sure other dating coaches, perhaps you too, Trip, saying, look, if you're so neuter and you don't make your sexual interest known at some point and you don't boldly grab her shoulders and kiss her at some point, she's going to think you don't like her, or she's going to think you're gay, or she's going to get frustrated because she flirted with you and you did nothing, and run out and slam the door and you'll never see her again. How do you strike that balance? How do you know when to kiss her on the second date? Or better yet, can you increase your chances somehow that that first kiss is going to happen on the second date?
Well, first of all, I'm actually a big proponent of doing it on the first date. So I just wanted to throw that out there, that if you get any chance to do it on a first date, usually that chance is somewhere towards the end. I would go for it. Okay. That really starts to tell the girl that this is a date, that you're interested, and it gets her really excited.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
By the way, I think if there's an opportunity for a first kiss on the first date, let's make this abundantly clear. You take that opportunity. But I think it becomes a pressure point on second dates. If I wasn't clear about that, that's what I meant. If that first kiss hasn't happened on the first date, you're thinking it either needs to on the second date or else you fail to deploy. So how would you ease your own tension about that and make it more likely to happen.
In order to get that kiss to happen, you need to start touching her in all sorts of ways, which I'll tell you in a second. Before you,
I can think of all sorts of ways. You mean those ways?
In those sorts of ways, you know, those crazy ways. You got to make sure that you're putting in some sort of touch before the kiss, because when you go for that kiss, especially on like a second date when you haven't done it yet, she's going to feel uncomfortable because she's going to be like, oh, this guy's kissing me. She doesn't even know how you feel yet. So I always say on the second date, again, I'm kind of saying this for the second date, but this goes for the first date too. So I want you to know that this should be as soon as possible. You want to go for the hug when you first see her, and not just like she's your friend hug. I mean, like you give her one of those hugs where your chests are connecting, your arms go around her, and you give her like a nice squeeze, right? And that's totally okay to do because she's said yes to a date. It would be kind of crazy if a girl wouldn't be interested in just giving you a small hug, right? So give her a hug when you first see her to start off the touching. And then throughout the course of the day, what I want you to do is use some flirty little moves where you can kind of touch her hand. You know, maybe I do this little trick. It's called the hand tickle, right? Where you kind of like pretend like you're reading her palm, but you make a bunch of crap up and just kind of have fun with it. And she knows you're making it up. You're just having fun with her. But the real point in there is to kind of like tickle her hand and look at the lines a little bit. When she makes a good point in conversation, you can, I would do this over the dinner table. This is maybe something you do if she's more next to you, if you guys maybe are eating at the bar or something, or you guys are walking. But, you know, just really lightly grab her elbow when she says something interesting, you know, or maybe you guys connect on something. You know, one of those, what I call me too moments, right, where she says something, like, oh, me too, and you kind of touch her elbow a little bit. Right. So it's those little things that are going to tell her, hey, this guy is interested in me. He seems to be touching me quite a bit. Right. So you can do something like that. And then as you get through the date and you keep on doing those little moves like that, you can even start to go for the handhold. Right. So that makes it a little bit more romantic. So if you guys get up, if you're taking her to another spot, if you guys are leaving the restaurant, just reach out your hand and get her to hold your hand. That is something that would be perfect for a second date, because at this point, she's definitely interested in you because she's there, right? You've seen, hopefully you've seen some of the signs that we talked about earlier. Go for the handhold right there, and then you can move from the handhold to stopping as you guys are walking. And then at that moment, just make sure that you don't say a word, create a silence, look into her eyes, and then go for it. I mean, step by step, there it is right there. That's how you can get the kiss and make it comfortable.
Yeah, the silent locking of eyes is when you better kiss her. You're failing to deploy if you have that silent locking of eyes and nothing happens. What I like about what you're saying is you're talking about being physical with her, touching her, but you're stopping short of what I would call kino escalation. These guys know full well what I think of that term. It sounds so mechanical and like you're trying to get some, like this is all about you. It should be all about her. You should be thrilling her. You should be making her want to be more physical with you. This isn't putting her through a process. This is helping build that rapport, making something romantic happen so that she likes being with you and she's going to want to touch you. A couple ideas you talked about, like grabbing her elbow a little bit when she says something that you can relate to. If you're taking her out to dinner or you're taking her anywhere that involves her sitting down after she's been standing up, you pull her chair out for her. You can kind of guide her into her chair. If you're opening the car door for her, you can kind of touch her on the back as she's getting into the car. This is why chivalry exists. A lot of times guys say, well, you know, chivalry's dead. Let these women open the door for themselves. You know, one of the best reasons to open the door for a woman, even if you're the most selfish son of a bitch on earth, so you can look at her ass when she goes by you. It's a wonderful chance to check out the package. This is why we invented chivalry. I'm not so sure it's because we wanted to be so nice to women. Now, it's great to be nice to women. It's great to show that you're a provider and a protector. But I love those moments when a woman's behind me and I want to see what she looks like from behind. And I open the door for her and get that little chance to look. I've known this since I was 14. Another thing that I've been doing since I first started dating, and what cracks me up about this, is at least two pickup companies have blatantly stolen this from me and completely put it into their boot camp repertoire and pretended they thought of it. Maybe they did, but it certainly isn't an original idea. What you're doing when you're out walking with a woman and you want to touch her a little bit more is you escort her across the street, like, you know, offer your elbow, right? And then, you know, she puts her hand on your elbow and you're protecting her as you walk across the street. At the end, what you do is you take her hand and you do like a little dance twirl. Like you twirl her around like you're dancing together, right? And it's not like, here, let's hold hands. It's take my hand like we're dancing. And then you do this little dance twirl with her, like when you get her to the other corner. And she's just going to think you're the most amazing guy in the world because you're leading the dance, literally. And you're making her feel like a girl by twirling her. And suddenly you're left holding hands. She'll grasp your hand, entwine your fingers with hers, and you're holding hands. It's the most magical, wonderful thing ever. And I've been teaching that since day one of my dating coaching practice, and I've been doing it since I was in high school. I don't know how I figured it out. It was a happy coincidence, I guess, but it just sends all the right messages to do that. And it will thrill women when you do that. And first date is a great time for it, but if it hasn't happened on the second date, the key there is to engineer this opportunity. Think a few chess moves ahead. Where could I be that would be a romantic place for a first kiss to happen? Maybe not the bowling alley or a noisy sports bar. Although Emily and I had our first kiss at a noisy sports bar, but that notwithstanding, have a couple romantic places that you know a kiss is begging to happen if you take her there. Make sure you walk her across the street so you have this opportunity to perform this little ritual I just told you about. And one thing I wanted to mention, Trip, is a lot of guys are sitting at home rolling their eyes going, oh, come on. Taking her hand and giving her a palm reading, she's going to know you're no good at that. She's going to know this is just a shtick so you can hold her hand. Guess what? You're absolutely right. Everything you're doing, the woman knows exactly why you're doing it. They know this is all about male-female attraction. And guess what? They love it. They just love that you get it. This is called the dance. The second date is all about the dance, the mating ritual, whatever you want to call it. This is where you slowly warm up your sexual attraction for each other and put yourself in situations where it's likely to happen. See, guys who are trying to escalate Kino, guys who are trying to just get in her pants, the whole idea of 10-minute seduction, man, these guys know nothing. Show me a guy who's teaching how to get in a woman's pants in 6 minutes, and I'll show you a guy who has no game with women, or at the very least, doesn't see any value to women other than sex. To me, that's marketing versus what works. I think there's a lot of guys out there who aren't any good with women thinking, oh, yeah, well, I just want to get in her pants in 5 minutes because I'm horny. Women are wonderful, and when you do things that ignite women's femininity like we're talking about, you get results and you get this ROI, and women just start doing amazing, horny female things for you without you having to push too hard because you get it. You did the dance. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I like to call it just being charming. That's that's the word for it. You're flirting and you're being charming.
You get it.
And the girls, they know, right? That's what they're going to say in their head, like, oh, this guy is so charming, right? Oh, he's so charming. They're going to tell all the girlfriends, he's so charming. They're going to even tell you, almost as a test, they'll be like, oh, aren't you so charming, right? Yeah. And you are, and you absolutely are, and they secretly love it. They don't want – I mean, let's just play logic here. You think a girl doesn't want a guy who's charming? No way. No way. You want, they want a guy like you who's going to be charming, and those are the things that you're going to do to be charming. And again, it's cheesy, but you know what? Half the stuff you do, what am I saying? Like almost all the stuff that you do in terms of flirting with a girl and turning her on, it's all cheesy on some sort of level. It is.
And they wouldn't have it any other way.
Right. But it's fun. It's romantic. They love it. And it might be kind of weird to you, and you might feel kind of weird twirling a girl or doing the little hand palm thing. And it's going to be weird. But once you see the look in her eyes and how much she loves it, you're not going to think about that anymore. You're going to love doing it and want to learn even more about how to do it. So those moves work.
Here's something that just occurred to me. Yeah, okay, I've got an agenda, guys are thinking. You know, I have this hidden agenda. You know what? The agenda is not the problem. The agenda itself is a foregone conclusion just because of the way male-female sexuality works. And don't kid yourself. Women are dying to get horny for the right guy. They want to be turned on. They want to feel like sexual creatures also in the right context. The agenda is to build the context where that naturally happens. Now, I don't care if you're saving yourself for marriage because you don't believe in premarital sex or she doesn't. The dance is still the same. Someday you're going to get married to the right woman and have sex with her and make babies. All this male-female stuff is inherently sexual. There is always going to be an agenda, no matter how long you're actually waiting until the wild thing actually happens. She knows it. You know it. Do you get it? She wants to know that. Here's what makes the agenda creepy versus making the agenda something she warms up to and loves. Do you have her best interests at heart? Are you in this with her, or are you just in it to take? Are you all about getting in her pants and getting some? That's what makes the agenda okay or not in the mind of a woman. Frankly, that's not gender specific. If a woman's agenda is to get you to take her to Morton's Steakhouse and then to take her on a quote unquote shopping date or something like that, that's an agenda that's in her best interest and you're going to see through it. And even if she's beautiful, you're going to start resenting her. Like I said, not gender specific.
Yeah. And with agendas, I just want to add that that word has such a negative connotation to it.
Of course.
And you just kind of solved it right there. It's like, okay, if the agenda is not just, you know, for yourself to just feed your ego on some aspect, then yes, you better have an agenda. Girls have agendas too. Why are you listening to this right now? You want to get better at meeting women. That's an agenda. So you can have a great relationship. A girl's agenda is usually to get into a relationship, have a great time with a guy so they don't feel lonely because we're human. That's okay. I mean, whatever. Let's substitute with another word instead of agenda, but there's just nothing wrong with that. Having an agenda is having a plan and being in control. And what's better than that? Because as we said earlier, that's what attracts women, being in control.
Yeah, that's the very definition of it. So just to wrap up this conversation, Trip, how can a guy make sure he absolutely nails that second date, making the third date a foregone conclusion?
First step is this. Stop thinking about trying to get that third date. Because if you're in your head too much and you're thinking about what can I do to do the thing that needs to be done to get her on the third date, is the second that you're going to be not paying attention to what's going on. And then that will lead to you guys not having fun, being in the moment and having a good time. I know it's a little airy-fairy, but it really is the best thing to be present within that date. Have fun with her. Comment on the things that are going on around you. Make jokes. Make light of stuff. But also, I want you to balance that out with getting to know her and getting on deeper levels and connecting with her, finding out more about her, what her passions are, what makes her excited to get out of bed in the morning. Get to know her, not because I'm telling you to get to know her, because you actually genuinely want to get to know her, and she's going to feel that. Right? So make that connection with her. Have fun. Act like a kid again. Don't take things too seriously. Plan that second date. Make sure you're touching her enough so she feels some sort of sexual attraction. Lead the whole way. Try to go for the kiss at the end. And I guarantee if you follow everything I just said in the past 20 seconds, you will nail down that second date and she's going to want a third.
Yeah, I think you said that perfectly. I would add as a final note, this conversation wouldn't be complete if we didn't talk about the importance of finding out where this is all headed sometime on the second date or the third date. Is she looking for a boyfriend? Is she thinking, oh, I need to go exclusive with this guy as soon as possible, lock him down and get married and make babies because my biological clock's ticking? Is she just looking for some casual fun? Guys like us tend to start fearing she's going to want to lock us down or whatever without really ever finding out the truth. We believe a stereotype without really checking into it. If you're having good, solid rapport with this woman, guys, and you're out at dinner with her, you can say something to the effect of like, hey, you know, we're having a good time together. We're on a second date. I'm wondering, what is it you're looking for out of your dating life right now? And she'll tell you. And she'll either say, hey, you know what? I'm just kind of keeping it casual and seeing where things go. I like hanging out with you and I like what we got right now. That's great. Imagine if she just tells you that in her own words, how much that's going to put you at ease, especially if you're not looking to make her your girlfriend now and you want to make a more informed decision. Well, then you just hold her to that. Now she says, look, I think you ought to make me your girlfriend and lock me down immediately. And I expect a ring within 4 months. That's when you say to her, all right, well, you know what? I don't get into exclusive relationships with a woman until I know there's a good opportunity for a potential future there. And that just takes time. It's going to take longer than this date and maybe the next. And she may say to you something like, well, don't expect any hanky-panky to happen. Don't expect to get my clothes off or anything until I got a ring on my finger. Just go ahead and let that roll right off your back. Fine. You know, she may mean it. She probably does mean it in the moment, okay? But If you succeed at making that woman feel comfortable with you, if she likes you, if she's sexually attracted to you, you may see her change her mindset on that after she knows she can trust you not to slut shame her. It's happened. But you need to get clear with her on that by the third date, I would say. And certainly by the time you do get naked and have sex with her, you need to have some definition of your relationship. Because when it isn't talked about, whether you're exclusive or whether you're going to be casual or whatever, women tend to assume exclusivity because you've gone on three dates and gotten naked. Men tend to assume non-exclusivity because you haven't talked about it before. And that's when you get in trouble. That's when women's feelings get hurt and they slam doors and never want to talk to you again. So a little 2020 foresight is good there. It doesn't have to be a big, heavy conversation. It's just something you kind of drop by the wayside over dinner. What are you looking for from your dating life right now? That's just a great question to ask. Any final thoughts before we close, Trip?
Yeah, I was going to say with that, if you're creating first, second, third dates and you're creating this dating relationship with a girl, you should know that she's going to be thinking that it's a dating relationship. So whatever you want, you know, maybe you just want to play the field and have sex and all that. And that's totally fine. Maybe you don't want to get into a relationship. You just want to enjoy, you know, different partners for right now. Great. But just know that if you're going on a lot of dates with a girl, I'd say 9 times out of 10, she's going to think that this is leading into some sort of relationship.
Especially if they're rapid fire.
Yes, absolutely.
Like 3 nights in a row. Yeah.
Yeah, especially. Definitely. Or they're happening in like within 2 weeks even. Define what you want. Maybe it's a girlfriend. Maybe it's to get laid. Whatever it is, define it, figure it out, and then do the protocol in terms of that. I mean, I'd say if you're not interested in getting a girlfriend, I just don't want guys out there leading all these girls on by taking them out on these great dates. And we showed them kind of how to do that just so they can get sex. Because again, most girls, and not everyone, I know I'm generalizing, but most girls, if they're on that second, third date with you, they're looking for some sort of relationship. So you've created that context for that. So I just wanted to add that in there.
Yeah, I think that's all very fair. Guys, his name is Trip, and he's from Trip Advice. And you know what? We didn't mention this, but you have a new podcast coming up called How to Talk to Girls, which is coming at you in early 2015. And another thing we were remiss in not mentioning, Mr. Trip, is you were one half of the duo that produced Dudes Talking About Chicks, which was a very popular podcast for men several years ago, and one that I actually personally enjoyed. So I wanted to make sure these guys were able to make that connection. And if you want to learn more about Trip and what he's got going on nowadays, including his YouTube channel, which is a wildly popular hit, and his new program, How to Attract Your Perfect 10, go to www.thechickwhisperer.com/Trip, T-R-I-P-P. And also, if you're not yet on my email list, if you're not getting my newsletters every day, you're missing lots of great content that you can use to get better with women right now. So go to www.thechickwhisperer.com, fill in your email address on that annoying page, and I will send you a much less annoying newsletter that will give you real steps to getting better with women. Trip, man, what a great show. Great content here. I think we've really equipped these guys to succeed.
Absolutely. Scott, thanks so much for having me. And Josh, good luck to you. I hope we answered your question well, and good luck with the program, and I hope you use it. And yeah, podcast I'm doing, How to Talk to Girls, comes out in early 2015, like you said, and I can't wait to have you, Scott, on the podcast to interview you and go over some good stuff for the guys listening there. So we'll definitely look forward to that next year and keep it going.
Yeah, nothing would please me more. I'd be thrilled to do that and looking forward to it. And until I talk to you guys again on episode number 68, this is Scott McKay from XY Communications. Be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2009 by XY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the XY Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer Podcast.